bhakti or devotion, which is very important for building a spiritual life, to build the awareness of the truth, the self that pervades everything. It is very useful to turn our emotions towards the divine by picturing or by understanding that God is in everything. God is our true nature. We are in God. God is in us, but in a transcendental sense. The person of Sri Krishna or any such divine incarnation is two things together, the combination of finite and yet infinite, combination of form and yet formless, combination of human and yet divine. That is how this very profound concept of incarnation of God is being explained. Wherever here or in the earlier chapters as well as the chapters to come, we have this word I, Maya or Aham, I or mine, in the mouth of Lord Krishna. When we hear it from Lord Krishna, it does not mean just one person. It is not like an individual like us who is identified with body using that term. When I use that term, that I am doing this, I am giving this class on Bhagavad Gita, then my awareness is tied to a particular form, nothing beyond that. But when Lord is using this word, it is not in that sense. It is the reality of everything. In that sense, the word is being used. It is not identified to a particular form, but yet is functioning through a particular form. It is not limited by that form, but yet the function is being seen through that form. And that is why it becomes very, very difficult to appreciate and understand. It is, many examples are given for that, like the electricity that we have. It manifests through instruments, but it is not caught in that instrument. You cannot say that the electricity is caught in it, and if this instrument is switched off, or if it is not functioning properly, gets broken, the electricity goes away. No, electricity is still there. It was manifesting in a particular form through this instrument, and it manifests in so many diverse forms, as you can see, that here it is functioning for amplification of the sound. In these light bulbs, it is manifesting as light. It also manifests as a heat when you put it on heater. It also manifests as cold when you put it in the refrigerator. It does locomotion when you have the electric cars. When you put it in the cars, it does the locomotion. It is through all these functions of electricity, it is manifesting, but without getting caught in it. Those instruments, they depend on electricity. But electricity basically does not depend on them. So, we have to feel this idea very clearly, as clearly as possible. But it is to be borne in mind that this our clear understanding of it is not possible till we realize this, till we experience this, and therefore it is subject to spiritual practice. And this is a practical science, not intellectual gymnastics. It is not to be understood by just logic and intelligence, because the logic and intelligence and all such things are in it. They are just part of it. So we have to evolve. We have to work to evolve our awareness. And that is done through this spiritual practice, trying to mold our lives on this. Last time, we were seeing that how this truth comes in our life, that it is through. He says that by me the entire universe is pervaded by my invisible or unmanifested true nature. This whole universe is pervaded. And also it is said that all the beings are in me, but I am not in them. This idea is very important, that all beings are in me, but I am not in them. It is when we consider that God is in me, I am, God says, I am not in them. So, we have to feel this in a transcendental sense. God is in me. Like the pictures in a movie, they are in the screen, but not that they are in the screen, but not in the sense that it is like things are kept in a pot. So they are really in the pot, but when you see movie, the pictures are not in the screen in that sense. And the screen is in them, that also in a transcendental sense, not that actually you cut the picture and put the screen into that. It is pervaded with the screen. That is the only idea there. And this is further elaborated. These verses are mystical. Mystical means, and the only logical understanding is not enough for getting to the depth of that. It is to be felt, and also one must get that aspect in our awareness. Lord says in the fifth verse, Nachamatsthani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram Bhuta Brhunacha Bhutastho Mamatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. Nor are the beings in me. Behold my divine mystery. Though the sustainer and protector of beings, yet myself is not in these beings. Everything, all names and forms depend on God. they are provided for by the God. God is therefore called providence. And we live in providence, is it not? So, it is. God is the providence. We live in providence, really. That provides for us. That brings everything to us. So each being is completely dependent on God. Everything is provided by God. Bhuta Brit means provider. And Bhuta Bhavanaha, that it is a protector, it is provider, and yet it is not inside everyone in the sense of getting caught in it. Like water is in the waves. Again, these examples we are trying to see just to get the idea. Not that these examples are to be taken in a literal sense. It is just to get some feel of it. All examples are, after all, not exact. It is an example to illustrate, that's all. So, sometimes the problems comes when one tries to take literally or tries to stretch it too much. It is not to be taken like that. So, like say you have a yellow jacket. That is, an insect is called yellow jacket. So, it is not to be considered that, well, can we take off the jacket from that? It is not a jacket in that sense. It is similarly, all these examples are of a different type, that to make us feel that God alone is the reality. Whatever names and forms we are feeling, they are in and through pervaded by Lord, and yet Lord is transcendent. Lord is untouched. Lord remains unchanging in spite of all this. There is no effect on Lord of whatever is happening here. So this is to be understood, because many times this question comes, what was Lord doing when so much of injustice is happening, when so many people were getting killed? Why God was just watching? Did he not have the compassion to save people from this horrible earthquake and tsunami? It is, this question gets asked. Who brought this tsunami after all? If God had been compassionate, kind, then he should have thought better. And like as if we should be telling God what God should think. Means who is God now? It is, I take the position of God. We question God. So, because of our limited understanding, we make such comments and have such questions that why should God do this and do that? And is the God remains unchanged, unperturbed? Whatever may be happening in this, that is all taken into consideration. It is all in the plan of the universe. There is creation and there has to be destruction also. Without destruction, there is no creation. Everything gets destroyed and gets created again. It is, we see that everywhere in the universe, that is the plan, that creation and destruction go hand in hand, that there is the morning and there is the night, sun rises, sun sets. Everything, a person is born, person dies, and all this is in the time happening without affecting the reality. it remains unaffected like the screen. And the person who is seeing the truth really has nothing to do with this, because that person knows that nothing is really happening. Suppose it is, I am seeing a dream. Imagine, I am sitting, I am sleeping there, and I am seeing a dream. And then Sam is sitting there by my side. Now I am asleep, and in the sleep I am seeing a dream. And suddenly in the dream, I saw a tiger is jumping at me, pouncing on me, and I am seeing, oh, save me, save me, there is tiger pursuing me. What will Sam will go to get a gun to kill the tiger? What will Sam do there? Sam knows that there is no tiger, there is no need to get a gun. I am quite safe. Nothing is really happening to me. Sam just smiles sitting there, and afterwards will tell me, hey, you know, Swami, you were blabbering something silly when you were asleep. It is. So, what is it all? It is nothing, you know, we are in that state of a dream, ignorance, and therefore we are sometimes laughing and sometimes crying. And Lord, who has the truth there, seeing that it is all in dream. So God doesn't have to go and bring the gun to kill the tiger there, because I am afraid of tiger. It is likewise, friends, it is, we get these questions, why God did not do this, and why is God bringing these calamities. We bring so many foolish explanations. Some fanatics, they say that all these 9/11 attacks and such things are because we are deviating from our these Christian principles, and therefore Lord is punishing us. It is very funny ideas. We have all sorts of explanations for anything happening. It is, some say that, well, why there was plague, so many other explanations for that. They were provided at that time. Why is there plague? It is because so many the Muslims were killed in that, what was that called? Crusades. So they said, because so many were killed, now here you have all plague. So now these are all foolish human expressions. And we say God is punishing us. So, as if God has all this big job to punish, to reward, and so forth. God does not do any of that. We will see that again and again, that God is not taking the burden of anyone. It is our ignorance, and therefore we sometimes are happy and sometimes sad. So when we are happy, we don't remember God. Oh, why God did you bring me happiness? Do we say that? No, it is. Nobody complains about it. Only when we are sad, then why God should do this to me? So, God is transcendent over all this. Doesn't change at all. There is nothing happening there. Just as the screen does not change, doesn't get wet, even if there is torrential rain in the movie, the screen remains just dry. A lot of bloodshed in the big war in the movie, and no stain of blood will be seen on the screen. It is all transcendent. Similarly, it is God is transcendent over this. Now, after telling this, he gives another example of all pervasiveness. There is nothing here that is not pervaded with God. Whether you see somebody who is apparently a holy person, a good person, in our social moral standards, he is the best fit, is considered very good person, then we can understand that, yes, God is in him. Somebody who is a terribly criminal-minded person, does all sorts of bad things, we get this feel. Milly thinks, how can God be in such a person? How can God be in somebody like Hitler or whatever? It is, God is in that also. Like the screen in the movie, the same. All in the movie, there is a hero, there is a villain. Same screen in both of them. The Allied forces as well as Nazi forces, both are on the same screen. The good guys as well as bad guys, the screen doesn't change because of that. So, Rama, same screen. Ravana also, same screen. So, that is how the divine is not changing at all. Everything is pervaded by that. Sixth verse. Yatha akasha sthito nityam vayu sarvatra go mahan tatha sarvani bhutani matsthani tyupadharaya. As the vast wind blowing everywhere ever abides in space, no, even so do all beings abide in me. And this is a very beautiful and yet a bit mystical again in understanding. We have to see that vayu, the air, this everywhere in everything, air has gone in. It is the and every being is considered here as air. And where is that air? That air is in space. Air is in space. So, in that sense, every being is in me. So, now think of that divine as containing everything. Let God be seen as containing everything. There is nothing outside of God. Think of the personality of Krishna or any other incarnation of God or whatever we worship as containing everything. Everything is included in that. So, if you get that God, you don't lose anything. You don't have to be worried about it. Otherwise, we get this worry. If I realize God, but maybe what will happen to my home? Will that be gone? No, you will get that also. Everything is included in Lord. So, by getting Lord, you get everything, because everything is included in God. When Jesus said that you first seek the kingdom of heaven, everything else will be added unto it. Nothing will be left out. Everything will be gotten by you, because in God there is everything. And see this beauty. Lord Krishna is telling to his disciple and friend. Arjuna is, on the one hand, his friend, a human relation, and a disciple, a divine relation. the human relation and divine relation. Not that one obliterates the other. Both these are very good tools. The human relation, yes, you therefore can connect as human being to God, that He is my friend. We have in Vedanta, there are five different ways in which we can connect to God. The five moods that which are used by human beings to connect, mood of one is called shant, peaceful mood. There is no particular special genetically related bond there. It is, you feel the whole world is connected with me. You are peacefully connected with others without any particularized bond. So that is called the shant. Then there is the bond called master and the servant, which is very common for most devotees, that I am the servant of God. Lord, you are the master. Let thy will be done. I will do whatever you tell me to do. And this attitude is depicted by Hanuman in Ramayana. You see, Hanuman is the embodiment of this attitude, that I am your servant. Lord, whatever you tell, I will do. I am at your service. I have no separate existence, but may your will manifest through me. So this is a human connection through which, this human connection with another human being is not very conducive, to our development. That, somebody was asking, how I don't feel like being servant of God. Well, you are servant of your wife, and then you say, I don't want to be servant of God. You do work somewhere, you are servant of somebody. You are servant of otherwise so many human beings, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not knowingly. Somebody told me, I have my business. I am not servant of anybody. Well, means you are servant of so many customers. It is not that you are not servant of anybody. Everybody here has to do some work to serve somebody so that that somebody can give something. So it is like that. Knowingly or unknowingly, we are servants. So let us turn this attitude of service or being servant of God. You are Lord, I am your servant. You are master, I serve you. So this human relation becomes useful to feel the divine. Then there is the relation of the being parent. I am the father or mother. God is my little child. Wonderful, no? It is very nice. Many women like it a lot, and it is very conducive for feeling the love, directing the love, that Yashoda had this feel about Krishna, that Krishna is my little child. It is a human relation, but with God. It is the divine awareness as well as the human relation. Through that the love becomes manifest. The love goes on getting intensified. And the more love gets intensified, the more and more divine awareness enters in it. It is putting a channel, a pipe, connecting pipe, so that divine awareness flows in us. So, that is one. Then there is the friendship attitude, that yes, God is my friend. Yes, like two friends, they are very closely connected. So you connect to God. God is my friend. But like Arjuna is the great example, that but yet Lord is his teacher also. So there is no contradiction in that. It is through friendship he is connected to Lord, and thus he becomes his student also. So the connection is at both these levels, and both these levels are important. He is seeing Krishna as a person, as a human being, with normal two hands and one head and all that, exactly like human being, and yet is slowly feeling that a divine connection. When Lord is saying that everything is contained in me, Arjuna doesn't say, "Hey, stop! Is your head gone wrong? What are you blabbering? How can everything be in you? You are outside me, I am outside you, I am not in you. What to speak of the whole universe? It is not, I am not in you, you are not in me." So, it is, although by looking at forms, that is the situation, yet really everything is in Lord Arjuna's understanding and accepting that. He is not questioning that. Remember, in the fourth chapter, he has questioned Sri Krishna about it. When Lord said that, long back, I had given this yoga to the shining sun god, Imam Vivasvate Proktam, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Ahamavyayam. So, I had told this yoga earlier to Vivasvana, and then he said, "How now I am telling the same yoga to you?" Then Arjuna stops him. "Wait, wait a minute. I don't understand what you are talking. See, you are just, we were together, contemporary. We are same age. And Vivaswan was many, many aeons ago. How could you have taught him? He was much, much, much before you. Can a little child, if says, I had taught my great grandfather, it is foolishness. You know, how it is? It is. He was much before you. It is not possible that you taught him. It is because he is not feeling, he is not understanding the divine nature. But as the teaching is being imparted slowly, slowly, Arjuna's awareness is changing. The sadhana or spiritual practice is happening there. And so now Arjuna is able to feel this. There in the fourth chapter, Lord Krishna had to explain it to Arjuna that, look, both you and I, we have gone through many, many, many births. But you don't understand those things. You don't remember those things. You are tied to one body. That is why you don't understand and remember those. But I know all of them completely, because there is no ignorance in me. I am not identified with a particular form. So, slowly Arjuna understands this, that God is beyond all forms and yet contains all forms, and yet is manifesting, yet is there to talk to us like a human being. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell for everyone who is coming here, they have to just understand two things. Who is that person, and who am I? If they understand this, it is done. What does it mean? This connection, reality, and I am included in that. When you get connected like that, then that becomes the realization. Nothing more needs to be done. So, the Lord says like that, no, everything is in me. And then says here to give more graphic description of that. It is, this graphic description is to be, to make our this understanding clearer and make us feel things better. So, the seventh verse. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastane kalpadau visrijamyaham. At the end of cycle, all beings, O son of Kunti, attain my prakriti. At the beginning of the next cycle, I again send them forth. This is what happens to all these beings. They all go. Actually, he is telling here about the dissolution of the whole universe. Our scriptures in Vedanta, it is said that, look, three types of dissolution is there at three levels. Every day there is a dissolution happening. When you go to sleep, then what happens to this universe? It is all dissolved. All names and forms are gone. You are not perceiving anything. You are not aware who you are. That is, and when you wake up, what happens? Again, everything starts coming up. Again, you immediately see that, well, I am Charles. I have to go to this work and so forth. Let me have my breakfast. And all this starts coming up as you wake up. The universe had gone. No I, no you. But when you wake up, again that awareness starts functioning, that division starts functioning. I am world, I am so and so, I am somebody's wife, somebody's husband, somebody's friend, somebody's this thing. All these other world also gets created along with it. So that is the daily nitya pralaya. It is called daily, this is happening. Every day, they creation and destruction is happening. Then there is another much deeper thing. When one dies, then his brain is destroyed and his body and physical connections, they also are gone. What happened to the world? For this person, the world is gone, but takes birth again. And the world again, then I and world starts manifesting there in the new form, in the new body. Similar connections are formed there also. It is like the kids build the castles in the sand. Triveni, did you build castles in the sand any time? Yes, is it not? So, the castles in the sand. Now, big creation, you know, that the kids come and do a lot of this nice creation there. Now, when they go home, sometimes they themselves kick it before leaving in the evening, that it is done, gone, and then it is just destroyed. Sometimes they keep it there. But then the wind and somebody else or the waters, they come ahead and then it gets destroyed. So, it is gone. Next day, the kid again comes and in the same sand, again makes another castle. So, similarly, that sand is manifesting as different castles. That sand doesn't go away. Through that sand, so many different castles come up. So, Lord says, similarly, in the creation, all these different beings, they come in me. In me is the important word. They manifest in me. And at the end of the cycle, they dissolve in me. The final or the ultimate destruction is when all these individuals, the big and small, they also are dead. The Brahma, that is the idea, the being who has the ego of the body of the universe, that being dies. And with that, everyone dies. Just as when this body dies, even before this body is considered dead, the cells in the body, they are dying, new are coming up, and so forth. Every cell has a life, it lives to that microsecond or whatever and dies. It has its universe, it has its birth, it has its growth, it has its progeny, it has its own cell world. Now suppose this being, when it dies, now those cells also, they have all of them, they have their death also. So similarly, imagine the being who has the awareness that this whole universe is I. That body, universe is my body. Now, when that being dies, all these sun and moon and all everything, all galaxies and the beings in us, everything is gone. And then that being again is born. It also has birth. It has death, it has birth again. So when it is born, everything again comes up. So this is called the Mahapralaya, the big destruction. The big destruction, when the whole universe is gone. Just to give you an analogy, it has gone to the pre-Big Bang state. That pre-Big Bang state, to give a scientific term, that's all. That what was there before Big Bang? So, think of that to get an idea. So, the universe comes, universe goes. But all that is happening in the unchanging Lord, there is no change in it. It is as it was. Nothing, there is no effect of time and space on that. Let us try to feel this. The complete immutability of God and all pervasiveness of God. So, and thus, let us strongly feel the our identity, our true identity as God. So, this is the purpose of it. And he says, this is what is happening. How do you do this, all this, and why? Don't ask this. Prakritim swam avashtabhya visrijami punah punah bhutagramam imam kritsnam avasham prakritir vashat. Presiding over my nature, prakriti, I again and again send forth this entire aggregate of helpless beings according to their nature. What a beautiful word, avasya, that it is avasham prakritir vashat, that this whole everything again and again comes into being. Stays and goes back. How does it happen? That is my divine power, Maya, what was earlier called that Yoga Maya. This is Yoga Aishwarya. That is Yoga Aishwarya. Yoga Aishwarya is a word more used by the Tantra discipline. That it is all the glory of God. Instead of saying that it is not real, it is said there that this is all the glory of God, the wealth of God. It is all God's. So, how does it happen? Well, that is the power of God. What is it? What is the power of God? You won't understand it. You are within that. Your logic is also within that. So, you don't get what it is. It is not possible to separate God and God's power, as Sri Ramakrishna used to say again and again, that just as fire and fire's burning power cannot be separated, so also in God and the divine power cannot be separated. Because of this divine power, all things which on the phenomenal plane, on the plane of this multiplicity, appear contradictory. They are all harmoniously present there, like being immutable and yet appearing as this universe, being one and yet being many. All this is possible for God. It is not possible for us being caught in Maya. But God has Maya as its power, as God's power. Therefore, God is Lord of Maya. It is He is not subject to Maya or this power, but the power is subject to God. Power like my power. I should not be subject to my power. As much as is required, I bring out that much. If I have to speak, for example, without this microphone. Now I know that this microphone, this amplifying system and all is there. So I am speaking only putting out that much energy, that much power through my vocal cords. But suppose this stops and now I have to make my voice reach that Bridget sitting at the end, then I will pour more power into it. I will speak more loudly. How much power to use, how much to not to use, when to use, it is my power. I am not subject to it. It is subject to me. So similarly, it is all Lord's power. Why this happens? The wish of Lord. There is no other explanation for those things. And the scientist may provide some pseudo explanation. Pseudo in the sense, it pushes the riddle back one step. That why did this happen? Why there are so many species? It is, once I had a nice discussion with one of our senior Swamis, myself and some other, we were there, and we asked this question, that why is there such a variety? Look, you know, the dog has its own particular sound, a particular appearance, a particular food, particular attitude. The cat has different one, a bird has wings, and then again different birds have different types of wings. Who made and what is the reason of this variety? So that Swami said that it is all as per the wish of God. It has happened like that. Now, I had a scientific, so-called scientific temper. So I said, no, there is that evolution, Darwin and this and that. I started telling. So he smiled and asked me, who created Darwin that way? Who made Darwin that way to make Darwin think like this? It is very funny. Some time back we had that nice story that the scientist went to God and said, we have now discovered the secret of life. We can make from clay, we can bring out life. We can show you. We have now have the complete formulation now that from clay, how to create life. And Lord said, wow, very nice, show me. The scientist had said, so we don't need you anymore. We can make life from clay. We don't need you. Lord said, wow, show me how you make it. And the scientist took the clay. Hey, not that. Bring your own clay. Don't use my clay. Don't use my clay. Bring your own clay and show. So it's like that. It is. So it is an important answer to these things. We shall continue the discussion on this. It is a very interesting point that how God makes all this without being affected, without doing anything. God does everything. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
If you're watching a movie and someone in the movie is devoted to God and someone feels that God is their child, it doesn't affect the screen. So are you really devoted to the form? Or you said God is everything, really the screen then. What are you devoted to?
That is depends on what your awareness is. So, therefore, to feel the screen when the movie is going on. When the movie is going on, how do you feel the screen if you do not know the screen? You are perceiving somebody there. If you don't know, imagine the state, you know, when you do not know the screen, then how do you will you perceive the screen? The teacher may tell you, you know, what you are seeing as this man is really the screen. Go and touch that man there. So you go actually to touch the man. But what will you touch? Hey, exactly, you know, you go to meet Lord in that form, but what you will end up in getting, that's it. Yes?
If Arjuna understood that everything is in God, then why is it that he still grieves at the loss of Abhimanyu?
That's a good question. When Arjuna understood that everything is in Lord, why did he grieve for the death of his own son? So, and Arjuna did understand everything at the level of intellect. It takes a lot of spiritual practice for getting it percolated in one's being. When one says Arjuna understood, not that he understood everything to that extent. It is therefore shown that how, even after listening everything, one has to undergo a lot of spiritual practice. And as the spiritual practice progresses, that understanding ripens into experience. Like you have sown a seed in the soil. Now, the seed slowly germinates, the one aspect of growing the fruits is done, that the seed has been sown. But then immediately you don't get the fruits. You have to wait till the seed germinates. Then you will slowly see the shoots. Then you will see the leaves coming up. Then maybe after 5, 7, 8 years, 10 years, it is said that the mango trees in India, when you plant it, your children may get the fruit. You know, you don't get the fruit of the trees that you plant. So it is like that, that it takes long time for the knowledge to ripen, and then that becomes an experience. Second explanation is from a different angle, that this is for our understanding and our teaching. Arjuna is kind of our representative there. So Arjuna understands means to the extent that we understand, to that extent we understand that Arjuna has understood. So therefore these illustrations that Arjuna is still grieving. Arjuna said at the end, Arjuna didn't say that I have got all the wisdom. Up to this he got, Karishye Vachanam Tava. Now I will do what you are telling me to do. So, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, that verse comes, Nashto Moha Smritir Labdha Tvat Prasadat Mayachita, that by your blessings, by your this great gift, I have understood what you were teaching. My delusion is gone, and my memory of what should I be doing has come up again, has I have regained that. And so now I will do what you are telling me to do. That itself indicates that Arjuna has taken up the path of spiritual practice there. He will now do what his teacher has told him to do. Not that he has become a completely illumined soul in that. So let us later now it is time. Let us conclude with the closing prayers. Please remember this Sunday the clocks are changing. So Sunday service, you will have to see to according to old clock, you have to come here at 4 o'clock so that you will be right here at 5 o'clock. You have to get up 1 hour early, you will lose 1 hour's precious sleep. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvine Srita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyani Karma Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.